And my time was running wild, a million dead-end streets, and every time I thought I got it made, it seemed the taste was not so sweet. So I turned myself to face me, but I've never caught a glimpse of how the others must see the faker. I'm much too fast to take that test.
Change it. Turn and face the strain.
Change it. Don't wanna be a richer man.
Election Day 2020. Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable and to our panel segment. Very nice to have you aboard on this very special day, an historic day by all measure, and we're going to get through it together. I promise you. We'll be here. We'll be here all day. We'll be here tomorrow. We'll be here for the rest of time, hopefully. And, well, we'll see what happens, right? And with that, I feel very cool, like very happy this morning just to be amongst this wonderful panel and to be able to talk about what's going on in the world. And as of right now, we can still have hope. And that's great. That's a really, really good feeling. So let us first, I'll remind you that you can be a part of our program. All you have to do is write to us, panel@wamc.org. Share your hope with us, panel@wamc.org. Alan Chartok, good morning, sir. How are you?
High anxiety.
You know, oddly, I watched that movie last night.
Oh, did you?
I was watching Young Frankenstein on Halloween, as I always do. That's my custom. And then up next in the queue came High Anxiety, so I watched that last night. It's a great movie. But yeah, I feel that way. But yeah, it's okay.
I think we all do. You know, CNN pulls out a guy who correctly called the last election.
Yeah.
And they say, and he's calling it for Trump this time. And I don't like it. And then I go and I look in Arizona and all these other places. And I hear the president say, we're comfortably ahead in Arizona, not according to the polls.
No.
So, you know, we're all sitting on, as we have called it, pins and needles in the proper Yiddish, spilkas.
Yes. Well, and there we will sit for probably quite a while today, but we will, as I said, get through today and have some hope and enjoy ourselves, I think. Counterterrorism expert, best-selling author, our good friend Malcolm Nance. Good morning, Malcolm. How are you?
Oh, my God. High anxiety. Believe me, I'm with you on that one. You know, my favorite scene in that movie is when he's on the airplane and it's landing and everyone's sitting normally in their seats and he's has his face pressed against the window screen. I am Mel Brooks right now.
Yeah, it is. It's again, hope.
We're gonna find out.
All right,
we're gonna find out whether America lost its mind or America has restored its balance.
And you know, when you think hope, ladies and gentlemen, you think Rosemary Armeo, investigative journalist, UAlbany adjunct professor. Good morning, Rosemary. How are you?
Well, not to break the mood here, I'm not feeling too hopeful. I'm hoarding. I was disturbed to see my mother use tuna fish that I was thinking we would be living on in period of civil unrest ahead to feed the cats. So I have to go replenish the supply. And my driver's license needs to be renewed, and I'm afraid government offices might be closed soon. I don't see this ending well today, no matter who wins, to tell you the truth.
All right, we'll talk about that in a second. And then we go to the Empire Report's J.P. Miller. Good morning, J.P. How are you?
Joe, I'm great. How are you?
Well, I'm hopeful. I hope you are. I think you're the only one who's going to join me in the, you know, like,
I
hey, let's get this over.
I think it's the most wonderful time of year, and I think that we probably have way more listeners than a typical news day. I mean, if I'm a WAMC listener, this morning is the morning I'm listening to the roundtable. I bet we have 5 to 10 times a normal audience today.
Absolutely. I mean, how do you get through a day without listening to more stuff to make you more anxious, to give you higher anxiety? Well, here we go.
So JP, have you talked to your cousin PJ, who sometimes leads the way in terms of what's going to happen? Do we know what he says?
I've kept in touch with PJ, and he's given me some smoke signals on what's going to happen with the election, but I'm not going to know for sure until tonight.
Okay, very good.
All right, we're good. So let's talk about Election Day, and here's what we know. It has been a tumultuous campaign, and polls are open throughout our region, with the exception of some places in the state of Vermont, where polls will open in about 40 minutes. So check your local listings. But otherwise, polls are now open throughout the WAMC listening area. So 100 million people have already cast a ballot. Yesterday, President Trump closed his campaign by questioning the fairness of the election and raising the prospect of unrest. Joe Biden urged voters to end a presidency that has fanned the flames of hate. Trump says he will declare victory when there is victory, if there is victory. Try to figure that one out. Joe Biden began Election Day visiting the graves of his family before heading to Pennsylvania. And meanwhile, at the polls, voters are lining up before dawn to cast ballots in person. We've heard on and off reports of some areas of being very quiet and some areas having lines around the block. So here we go. But as I think both Malcolm and Rosemary alluded to, it is a nation on edge as Election Day is here. Fears of unrest are palpable, and we'll talk about all of that this morning. So let us begin just with, I guess, the closing messages of the two campaigns. You have one candidate who says it's time for change and it's time to get this virus under control. You have another candidate who is questioning the fairness of the election and saying that there will be unrest.
Well, you know, Joe, I'm thinking Jonestown. We have a guy who has these super spreader events and who has his people going there with no masks on. Now, what's that about? They know full well what the science is. They've been told time and time again, and yet they walk in to that place without a mask on. And they know that people are dropping like flies. The stuff is out there. We know what happens after one of these events, and yet they do it. Now, if that ain't Jonestown, I don't know what is.
And one of the things that I thought was interesting in one of the many news reports I was watching last night of that nationally, of course, we all know how this is being covered. But in those states, in those battleground states, that the local media is really covering the fact of the number of people who have gone to these events and what they're seeing as a result, the numbers of the virus, and they're tracking it and they're showing the impact. And so those are the dual headlines in the states, which are very important for the president if he is going to win the election. And so it just seems odd that that's all happening. Rosemary, let's go to you.
Well, I think that the bad stuff that makes me depressed is already happening. We have a wall, have you seen it, around the White House
right. And
Lafayette Park. Friends jogging through this morning for exercise through Washington say it looks like Florida before a big hurricane hits. Everything is boarded up. We have the military and the police on alert across the country. It's like we're a third world country. We have already regressed. I mean, even if it comes out the way I want it to today, we have so much to fix and so much to get back that it is it's kind of dizzying.
But you have to start somewhere, and if you start with a victory for your particular candidate, isn't that good?
Oh, sure, it would be good, but you can't guarantee that for me. And so,
well, not at 9:22 this morning. No, I can't. But I'm just saying.
No, I mean, and not at 9:22 tonight, even, or 9:22 tomorrow morning. You can't either. So it's all this matter of waiting. And I think the man who's in the Oval Office has given every indication that he doesn't plan to wait, that he's taking preemptive third world like action now, which makes me upset. And I, as you know, I've never been as sanguine as you all about Biden's chances.
All right. Let's go to Malcolm Nance.
Oh, sure. You're bringing the guy on terrorism.
Well, let's, you know, I want to get to
would have been a better day. But, you know, I have to be sanguine also. And I want all of your listeners to understand that this election is an exercise in American democracy. Let's hope that it is free and fair without interference from the White House. But I'm less concerned with today than I am more concerned about tomorrow. Tomorrow is going to be one of two things. It's going to be, for many of us, a disaster if Donald Trump wins re-election. And I mean a disaster in the sense that that is it for American constitutional republicanism. The United States will immediately shift to an autocracy, or as I like to call it, a constitutional autocracy, where you have the fig leaf of the Constitution over Donald Trump's dictates. And all those armed people and people you see with the ISIS parades, you know, vanilla ISIS convoys going around the country, they will view themselves as self-deputized paramilitaries.
This is you being sanguine?
Well, he said today, tomorrow all hell's going to break loose.
Okay,
but today,
okay.
Yeah, but that's just the, that's the, I just said that is what do you call it? That's the disaster. Now, if Joe Biden wins, it'll just be terrible because all of those people, including the Trump administration, Donald Trump, his family, and all of his armed paramilitaries are going to go underground and they're going to create an armed political resistance to this administration. They've already made it clear that any result other than victory is a coup d'etat. And I think that their people in there will start behaving like the Iraqi bath party after we rolled into Baghdad. They're going to disappear for about 30 days, and then they're going to emerge in a way that we are really not going to like.
J.P. Miller, go ahead.
I can buy that. I'm hopeful the same way he is.
J.P.
Very hard to follow up on that, but I think it is a tough place knowing that either tomorrow or within a couple of days that, you know, 45% or 50% of the country is going to be really, really disappointed about the outcome and despondent over the outcome and thinking that, you know, either side, if the other person wins, they think, well, this is the end of America as we know it. And I think it's really disappointing. That's how we as Americans feel, depending on whether our candidate wins or the other candidate wins. And I hope my real hope is that it is a decisive victory either tonight or tomorrow, and that we are not in the game of, you know, court challenges in Pennsylvania and Georgia over individual ballots over the next number of weeks. I think that would be the worst result. I hope it's a decisive victory tonight or tomorrow in the Electoral College.
Well, you know,
if I'm not mistaken, Trump's please. Actual numbers of voters was only 27% of the eligible voting population, not 50%. One quarter of Americans support Donald Trump.
Yeah, but that's counting people who never vote. And, you know, we just have a screwed up voting
system. No, that's the election.
And as far as legal challenges, there have already been more on this election than ever in history. We already have a demonstrably terrible, tumultuous system, and the whole world is watching. I'm getting notes from friends around the world in the Middle East, in Eastern Europe, saying, good luck, we're thinking of you today. And our lives depend on what happens as well as yours.
What did you just say, Malcolm?
Oh, I was saying that Donald Trump's 62 million votes that he received in 2016 only constituted 27% of the eligible electorate, not 50%. So he is really a minority. I mean, he's got one third or 25% of the American population behind him, 40% if you believe the polls. But that, you know, that's the problem. He intends to rule over the other 60%, not for them.
Can we, Joe, can we just ask the following question? The polls, because every time I get scared in the middle of the night or I hear something on CNN or Fox or whatever, I go and look at the polls.
Right.
The polls are all quite
comforting, revealing.
Yeah, they are. Because, you know, the president gets up there and he tells a terrible lie about how comfortably they're ahead in Arizona. And then I go and look up Arizona, and it's not by much, but Biden is leading in Arizona. Now, there'll be people who are listening to the radio, hold your horses, who are saying, but the polls were wrong the last time. Yeah, the polls may have been off by a percentage of a percentage of a point in three states. But for the most part, the polls were exactly right. Hillary Clinton got the most votes. She got 3 million votes more than the others. Now, I would put to the panel this question. Do you have any comfort in these polls? We're all showing Biden doing quite well.
Not me. I don't take comfort in it. I think we have the same problem this time that we did in 2016. The, what are they calling them? The Trump shy voters. They don't admit to it. I just cannot see any evidence. And I did listen to the guy from Siena talk to you, Alan. I don't see any evidence that they've fixed that problem. What they've done to try to get more accurate this time is to take more polls. And so if you look at the more polls coming out of the states that will decide this, there's still no clear Biden advantage. He hasn't. I think he'll win the popular vote. That's not the issue ever. It wasn't when Al Gore won. It wasn't when Hillary won. He may well get the popular vote, but I don't see polls comforting me that he will get the votes that matter in this election.
I have to take a break. So just so we're all on the same page when we come back, and we'll talk about this. 538 Nate Silver has Joe Biden winning with an 89% chance, 10% chance for Donald Trump. As far as electoral votes, according to their calculations, 348 for Biden, 190 for Trump, and 53% of the popular vote, 45% of the popular vote for Biden to Trump. We'll take a break
there. Let me go ask President Clinton if
that's
correct.
We'll be right back. After.
Like the river I've been running ever since. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been too hard living, but I'm afraid to die. 'Cause I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. Somebody keep telling me don't hang around. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come.
Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion. Alan Chartok, Malcolm Nance, Rosemary Armeo, and J.P. Miller. So, exploring electoral college outcomes, electoral votes, counting only states where a candidate leads by three or more. This from the New York Times has Biden at 291 electoral votes, 125 for Donald Trump. Electoral votes of polling leads translate perfectly to results, which of course they won't. 351 for Biden, 187 for Donald Trump. And electoral votes of state polls are as wrong as they were in 2016. So if you even account for the great errors that took place 4 years ago, 335 for Biden, 203 for Trump. JP?
I'm following the polls very closely. I'm following the Real Clear Politics average of a number of polls and looking at those compared to what they were 4 years for Hillary. And I've come up with some conclusions. That is Trump is only doing better in one state vis-a-vis 4 years ago in polling, and that's Minnesota. He is doing roughly the same in Wisconsin and Pennsylvania, and he is doing worse in a number of swing states. Trump is doing worse in the polls via 4 years ago in Arizona, Iowa, Michigan, Ohio, Georgia, Florida, and North Carolina. So you add all that up, this is definitely not going to be a repeat of 4 years ago where he won 307 electoral votes. I think it's looking to a likely loss. It's looking like a Biden victory. But looking at those state polls compared to what they were 4 years ago is what I'm kind of looking at as I looked at tonight.
Yeah, but Trump isn't winning in Minnesota, is he? He may be doing better, but he's not winning.
He is not winning in Minnesota. Hillary Clinton won Minnesota by 1.5% 4 years ago. She was polling at 6 points ahead 4 years ago. She won by 1.5%, and right now Biden is polling at plus 4.3 according to the Real Clear Politics average in Minnesota. So Biden is currently underperforming Hillary by 1.5% in Minnesota, a state where she won by 1.5%. That's the only state where Trump is polling better than he was 4 years ago.
How much do we agree with the pollsters who say if Joe Biden is to win Georgia or to win Florida or to win North Carolina, it's pretty much over?
I look at it as Biden has to win either Georgia or Pennsylvania, one or the other, and Trump has to win both. So again, you look at these states. Donald Trump is simply on the defense in a larger number of states. Biden has to do well in a fewer number of states to win tonight than Trump does. Trump really has to run the table. And that's why you see Nate Silver from 538. His whole job is predicting elections. This is the biggest night for Nate Silver. He's putting his entire credibility and his career online. He's saying 89% chance of a Biden victory. That's huge, I would say.
Well, and it's nice that he still has a career after 2016. So the other thing, the other thing too is one of the things I find fascinating is according to the latest polls, do we think Texas really can be a toss up? Many polls say it's dead even in Texas. You don't think so, Rosemary? I tend to agree with you. Yeah.
I think the trend is certainly going towards blue. Because of people coming in, because of the age of the electorate, because of just the changing demographics. I definitely think it's trending blue, but not this year. It's too early yet.
Joe, I didn't include Texas in that kind of swing state roundup I just mentioned. Trump is doing a full 10 points worse in Texas than 4 years ago. 4 years ago, he went into the election day up 12% in the polls. He ended up winning by 9 points. Today, he is up 1.2% in the polls in Texas, down 10 points from 4 years ago.
With a four or five point margin of error, so yeah, it is. It's interesting, but still up in the state of Texas. But obviously, of all the polls that have to do with the electoral votes, they're not giving Biden Texas, and still with that having the numbers that he has, Malcolm.
Well, you know, give me a moment, Rosemary. Like I joked earlier, if I'm not mistaken, Nate.
You have a moment.
Nate Silver also had Hillary Clinton winning in 2016, and I think it was by
that's
a
what I was
going to
add, Malcolm. I just looked that up after JP talked on election day 2016. He gave Hillary Clinton a 71.4% chance of winning.
Mm-hmm. Well,
71. Well, now he's going 90, right? So.
Another example of where Trump is not doing as well as he was 4 years ago with Nate Silver.
Yeah,
you know, you make me very nervous, JP. Another Yiddish word I'm going to teach you all is Kenahura. You don't put a Kenahura on this. In other words, the evil eye by claiming victory here. If you do, you clearly will be asking the gods to give you a hard time.
You know, it's so funny, Alan. I have not heard that. I have not heard that word. My father used to use that word a lot.
It's a good Irish word.
My Irish Catholic father used that word a lot, and that was when we dared to put the calendar ahead a month. If it was like on June 30th, if you advanced it, then that was bad. You were kind of her. Yes.
You were doing a kind of her. That's right.
Malcolm, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say this belief in polls. You know, I've been disabused of that. The only thing I'm going to believe in right now is the people power that we're seeing turn out, and we are seeing elevated turnout amongst the youth, which is absolutely incredible, and I think it's great. I think this summer's Black Lives Matter protests have actually managed to take, you know, the young hipsters that we were saying wouldn't come out and wouldn't do anything, have turned them into activists. And if they could go out and march in the streets in support of Black Lives Matter, and going out and voting is nothing. And we're starting to see that actually is what's happening, certainly in the early voting. I think, you know, in one statistic that I saw in one state, they had like 50,000, and now it's over 250,000 of people 18 to 29. I mean, it's an order of magnitude change. I hope that's the same everywhere, as opposed to one particular location. But as of right now, even though we know everything looks good, I'm not going to believe it until I see a decisive victory. If this is going to turn out to be a thin margin, then, you know, Katie barred the door. This administration will cheat. They will. I mean, they have made it eminently clear they are not going to give up power, unless, you know, I don't think that they want to give up power at all. There's a lot at stake here for Donald Trump, like not going to Dannemora prison, for example. So there's all sorts of reasons for him and his family to push the margins, to get state assemblies to maybe steal the electors. I don't know, but I don't think it's going to happen easy. I think he's going to go down fighting.
He has to, right? But isn't Dannemora for the criminally insane? Am I wrong about that?
That's what I said.
Yeah.
Well, am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. But I do say, he's been quoted in the papers from insiders saying that he's worried about the spate of lawsuits and criminal charges if he loses. So that's a possibility. You know, I keep wondering about the Democrats. Are they going to say, you know, we got to bring the country together, so we'll leave them alone? Or are they going to go after them? That's an interesting question.
It sure is.
Oh, there can't be a Truth and Reconciliation Commission on this one. There just needs to be a Truth Commission. And you're going to find it wasn't just Trump. It was all of his cronies were making money, like Senator Kelly Loeffler, doing insider trading, using U.S. government proprietary information. We know that that's going to come out. We've seen many, many cases of people who were unfit and should never have been in government in there, you know, spending, you know, abusing the taxpayers' money. And the funny thing is that for Trump supporters, they don't care whether you abuse government money, whether you spend tens of millions, what is it, $160 million for the Secret Service to follow you around at a golf course for not just you, your sons, your daughter, your wife, and the kids, when they didn't even like Barack Obama wearing a tan suit. So they're not going to give up power tomorrow, in the sense that it's has existed since the time George Washington stepped down. I think that quote I keep giving you, that the 4th of November through 21 January is going to be the most dangerous period in American history.
I want to get to just two or three letters, and then we'll go to a break. Peter writes to us and says, "Esteemed panel, for the last 4 years, many WAMC listeners have lived with tight jaws, clenched fists, and ethical and moral concerns about Donald J. Trump. Day after day, the roundtable panelists, all of them, have been there for us. They have discussed the news carefully, shared their concerns thoughtfully, and kept all the listeners, including me, relatively sane. Election Day 2020 is simply time to say thank you to Joe, Alan, and all the panelists since 2016. You are my heroes. And then we go to Jane, who writes, I certainly hope sanity is restored today, but no matter what, please know how much I appreciate the work you do, especially over the last several difficult months. Your discussions and sharing of viewpoints demonstrate that democracy is indeed alive. You educate with public and provoke thought. The service you provide is essential. Please don't give up the good fight. My prayers are with you. You guys, these letters are really nice. Thank you very much. We have not so nice letters, but I'll save those for later.
Wait. Here's one from Suzanne who says Yiddish. Alan, what's the terrific word that means pins and needles? Please spell it, Suzanne. Well, Suzanne, here's the bad news. I can't spell in English, let alone Yiddish. And it doesn't... And it doesn't really work that way. Yiddish is transliterated in such a way that different words are spelled by many different people in different ways. I hope you get it. It's Spilkas. You go figure it out.
You know, it's funny. I just put in what my guess was, and Google said, did you mean syphilis? No, I didn't. On that note, let's take a break. We'll be back and return to the conversation right after this.
Something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
S-H-P-I-L K-E-S. Spilkas.
Sounds reasonable.
I was close.
Yeah. S-H-P-I-L-K-E-S. Okay.
S-H-P-I-L-K-E-S.
All right. Now, given what we were just listening to, the music and what, Malcolm, you've been talking about, what the president said last night of inducing unrest in regards to the Pennsylvania Supreme Court decision. So what do you think, as our counterterrorism expert, what do you think the likelihood is of real problems developing in this country over the next 48 hours?
The probability of that is good. If I had to give an assessment, I would say the probability is high, and that means somewhere between 75% and 95% confidence. But I think it'll be sporadic. It's going to take on the nature of the loss, right? There are a lot of people out there, and to be, you know, full disclosure, I've got a book on this almost finished. About Americans who have been preparing to kill Americans in support of Donald Trump and the QAnon conspiracy theory and all that other craziness. And, you know, if they feel that this has been stolen at the edges, then I think we're going to have a fight in the next few days. If it's a blowout, then I think they'll be chastened for a period of time. And then, you know, they will stew as Donald Trump starts to stew. And then if Trump starts saying this is illegitimate, this was stolen, we're not going to relinquish power, I'm putting the attorney general to start, you know, finding out who did this, then we're going to have insurgency. That's underground political and paramilitary activity. I just, you know, the thing is, I don't monitor Fox News. I monitor these extremist forums and hear what the people on the street with the guns have to say about this. They're getting all of their cues from the White House. I mean, Donald Trump is inciting a potential Shays Rebellion, if that's the case. But then again, the Shays Rebellion ended when George Washington told the army to bring cannons to South Egremont. So, you know, I don't know what's going to happen in the next 48 hours, but if it's a decisive victory, I don't think we'll have any violence. I think we'll have his pro-Trump convoys. But if Trump says it was stolen, all bets are off. New York State's fine.
Rosemary?
Again, I want to remind people that Malcolm began by saying, I'm feeling hopeful. this is why I feel the same
way.
Was
I high?
Stocking up on tuna fish. I am worried there will be disruption. I think there already is disruption when we have caravans running Biden buses off of the highway and all the stuff that's going on. I think it's already begun. People are arming themselves, including in my own family, which horrifies me. I think that we are we look like other countries that I used to go to and teach them how we cover elections in the United States. And now it's happening here. I am extremely upset by this, and I think that the potential for danger is very high. I think that even if it is an overwhelming victory, we are not going to know that for, I think, 4 to 6 days at a minimum, and that means trouble.
For what it is worth, and I don't know much, but I was at least interested to hear the advice of or the opinion of James Carville last night on MSNBC, JP, who said that this could very well be over by 10:30 tonight.
It could, and that's what I'm hoping for. I do think that it could be a decisive victory for Biden. Hard to imagine a decisive victory for Trump at this point. If Trump does win, he will eke it out by just a few electoral votes. But yes, if a number of these states fall early for Biden, the election could be over tonight by 10:30, and that would certainly be, I think, a good result for people that are worried about, you know, violence and disruption to our country. If there, the more resolute and decisive the victory is for the candidate, the less I think the opposition will be able to, you know, call foul or say, you know, the election was stolen, we're going to riot, we're going to, you know, we're going to bring out our guns and all that kind of thing.
Alan, you've been...
Can I just say, Joe? Tony writes, Alan talks a lot about our WAMC family. Well, I'll tell you, brothers and sisters, I can't imagine going through this anxiety without you all. Thank you. I love you.
Very nice. Very nice.
Isn't that something? I mean, and an awful lot of letters that are saying that right now.
Yeah, it's very sweet. I do, you know, I feel that way because it's nice to get together and to hash all this out. I think, you know, Alan, you have been saying for quite a while that you anticipated this to be a blowout. So you and I are going to be on the air tonight. I mean, what are you going to be watching for? When do you think we're going to start seeing at least signs of how this is going to go?
I'm going to be looking at Pennsylvania, 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 and Pennsylvania. I think a good deal of they. It is not just a mistake that these candidates have spent so much time there. I'm with Rosemary, I think, on the question of Florida. Rosemary, you're somewhat dubious on Florida as you are on Texas.
Well, the one thing about Florida, Alan, that's different is that we're going to know Florida tonight. Their rules are very different than Texas, so we're going to know. I think Florida is really, really close. The polls have it almost as that 50-50 tie that we were discussing before. If Biden wins Florida, it will be a very happy sign because that makes it so much harder for Trump.
Yeah.
So
and I don't
anything that could be part that could play into it. Yeah, I understand that.
Well, despite his lies, Trump's lies, it is interesting to watch places like Wisconsin, because, you know, all the polls are showing Biden is substantially ahead in those very states where Trump pulled it out the last time.
11 points in the latest New York Times Siena poll.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
11 points where, Joe?
In Wisconsin.
Wisconsin. And as you guys probably know, I am.
I might caution a little bit on Wisconsin. When I look at the average from 4 years ago, Hillary was up 6.5 going into Election Day in Wisconsin. Trump won by 0.7%. Biden is right now right exactly where Hillary was 4 years ago. He's up 6.7% in the Real Clear Politics average. So I do, you know, while you can look at one poll and say he's up by 11, I look at it as he is right about where Hillary was 4 years ago, and it ended up being a very narrow Trump victory in Wisconsin.
It's a tough state, I'll tell you that.
But, you know, looking at these polls, JP, I had mentioned, I think, coming into the second out of the second break, that you look at the Electoral College outcomes and what they're saying, and what many of these polls are doing is if you count the states where a candidate is leading by more than 3%, and then that would give Biden 291. But 3% in most cases is still the margin of error, right?
Right.
Yes, and there were, you know, as what we saw 4 years ago is Secretary Clinton was up well more than 3 points in a number of states. She was up by 6.5 points in Wisconsin and lost. She was up by 3.5% in Michigan and lost. So I think that I do believe in the phenomenon of the quiet Trump voter that will not share their thoughts to pollsters. I think hopefully the pollsters have solved for that and incorporated that into the polls this time. But I wouldn't be surprised if you saw that tonight. That being said, even with the quiet Trump voter, Trump is still doing worse again in North Carolina, Florida, Georgia, Ohio, Michigan, Iowa, and Arizona. In Arizona, he's down 5% from where he was 4 years ago. So I still think it's going to be much, much, much worse for Trump tonight in the election. But I do believe that there may be, like you mentioned, Joe, 1 or 2 or 3% sway room with regards to where the pollsters are. That being said, the pollsters could be wrong the other way. And in fact, Biden has bigger leads than the polls show, and he could have a big he could have a big landslide tonight easily.
Well, I mean, even if I'm just, you know, playing with the numbers here, but the Nate Cohn has it that even if the state polls are as wrong as they were in 2016, Biden would have 335, Trump would have 203, even if you factor in the polling errors, for whatever it's worth.
Yep.
Probably not much. Let's take a break. When we come back, we will continue our conversation. We have a wonderful panel. Alan Chartok, Malcolm Nance, Rosemary Armeo, and J.P. Miller. We will come back and we'll talk more about this. And, you know, in the meantime, take a breath, listen to Ray's newscast, and we'll talk more on the other side. We'll be right back. Six minutes past 10 o'clock on this election day, 2020. Alan Chartok, Malcolm Nance, Rosemary Armeo, J.P. Miller, all make up the panel. I'm Joe Donahue, and we welcome your letters. Panel at WAMC.org. Panel at WAMC.org. quick note that our coverage of election night will begin at 7 o'clock. Alan and I will be hosting a special at 7, from 7 to 8. Then we'll be going over to NPR coverage, and we'll be mixing in with that throughout the rest of the evening. So a lot to monitor and watch, and of course our wonderful WAMC news team will be on top of it, as they always are. So we will do that beginning at 7 o'clock tonight, and of course have coverage throughout the day on our news magazines, Midday Magazine, Northeast Report, Northeast Report Late Edition, as well as the newscast at the top of the hour as well. All right, let's go to some letters, and we begin with Vincent, who says, Rosemary is absolutely correct. There are quite a few silent, shy Trump supporters. Even if they find Trump personally reprehensible, they look at their portfolio and agree with his policies. Sad to say, but my union rank and file are overwhelmingly supporting Trump because currently work is plentiful and for no other reason. Russ says, if Trump... Go ahead.
I was just going to say, it's kind of terrifying to drive around either in our own area here, or I just made a trip down to Virginia, and there are just Trump signs and flags everywhere, just everywhere. Yeah, American flags with Trump signs, as if this is your duty to vote for him. I really have to say that does affect me.
Can I
go ahead?
Make a quick point. That is just a sign of their fanaticism. That is not a sign of their numbers. I know we see the Trump convoys.
Right.
They've organized that for some time now, what I call the vanilla ISIS convoys, where they go through and they storm through. I mean, here in Hudson, they do it, go up and down Warren Street because they know it's, they make fun of it being a gay area. And, all the New Yorkers are there. That is a show of force. But we happen to know we had in the last election 3 million more supporters. And then again, you had 100 million Americans that didn't vote at all. They are just strong in their faith in this cultism that they're calling the Trump campaign. But that doesn't mean that there are more of them than us. They're going to run out of numbers at some point at the polls. And the question is, will we be able to higher numbers than they do?
And there's another question, Malcolm, and that is when we see a bus forced off the road by thugs, whether they're doing it and they're quite proud of it, whether or not people like that, whether they like it. I don't think people do. I think people don't like it. We teach our children not to bully. We teach them not to be bullied. And here we see this kind of nonsense. And I think it is the exact opposite of what they may intend. If they think they're going to scare people, they're just wrong.
Those that are going to vote for him are going to vote for him with all their hearts. And if he tells them to jump off a cliff, they'll do that too.
That's great.
I mean, this is not a game anymore with them. I mean, I was an analyst for Fox News for 2 years on Al-Qaeda, for Tony Snow, who I could arguably say was the last journalist that worked there. Now it is a propaganda organization, and those people have bought into every word. If they say civil war tonight, we will have a civil war.
I said Jonestown in early this morning, and I meant
you were correct.
Yeah. We got a couple letters on this, and I don't know... I'm going to ask it. I got a letter in the mail like this, and then we got a letter today. So the point of the letter being that Sean Hannity was talking about how many guns he had, and then he was talking to Jeanine Pirro, who said she has over 100 guns. So Duncan says, love the show. Here's my question. How many of the panelists own guns? Not a fun question, but I think it's relevant under the circumstances. I'm not sure how it's relevant, but...
Okay, that's fair. I'll go first. The Shartaks have no guns.
Right. The Donahues have no guns.
The Armeos did not until my youngest son became an owner. He lives in Florida.
But you don't have
one there.
But you don't have one. I mean, But you
absolutely not.
You do not have one. Yeah.
No.
JP, I'm waiting on Malcolm because I think it's going to be a long list. JP,
well, we already know what Malcolm says. Yeah.
Let's let Malcolm go before me.
Okay. You don't have to give a number, but you... Right?
I'm an intelligence professional, former military, and a competitive shooter. So, you know, it's not a question of whether I own guns or not, because my guns are not going to be coming out in any civil war. This isn't, you know, this isn't the Spanish American War where we can just form our own regiments. You know, these problems are going to be resolved by the people that I trained, which is the New York State SWAT teams, the state police SWAT teams. And I have ensured they have enough systems to handle Al-Qaeda and ISIS. So no one's going to be getting froggy and jumping in this place.
JP.
I like it.
I don't have a gun, but I've got weapons that are much more lethal than guns. I'll leave it at that.
Children?
Oh, come on.
Your kids?
Power
is that
of
it?
The press.
Yeah, I've got a 3.5-year-old. No, I am not a gun guy. I got little kids. I don't want guns in the house.
Yeah.
Not my
thing. Good.
But if
none
anybody comes
should.
For me knowing that I don't have guns, I do not come for me. Trust me. You'll regret it.
No
JP,
one.
It's much more likely they'll be coming over here than to your house.
Well, like gators?
Right,
what do you
go to Sharkock's house.
Well, what I'm don't trying to get across here to everybody is that, one, none of yous need guns, all right? That's not your job. Power of the pen. That's what I want to see out of you guys. And, you know, again, law – this is a weird thing about law enforcement, and I've trained thousands of them. They are a really jealous organization when it comes to maintaining the law. And for all that, you know, talk about them like to get into gun battles and stuff, they don't. But if you challenge them, you come out there with illegal long rifles and decide that you're going to surround, you know, some town or do a protest at the downtown, you know, at the in Albany at the state, you know, at the state house and decide to declare parts of New York State red, you're going to find out why we fund police departments. And, you know, I don't want anybody to get hurt. I don't want anybody doing nothing. Just go about your lives, all right? America is a nation based on its democracy. And if democracy speaks in one way or another, nobody should be breaking anything. Everyone can peacefully protest. But, you know, let's not encourage people. I have people ask me all the time, should I buy a gun? No. Go to work, all right? And go get me some donuts. This is the important things that happen in life.
Barack Obama says, don't boo, vote.
Right, exactly.
Don't boo, vote.
Don't boo, vote.
Should I buy
donuts.
A gun? No, buy me some donuts. I like that. I'm going to use that.
It's a dang good answer.
Matt writes to us and says, I thought reporting of presidential vote counts would not occur until all polls in the country were closed. The thinking was West Coast states might consider themselves irrelevant with early East Coast results one way or the other. But I am reading articles that talk about results coming out as early as 7 p.m. East Coast time. Can you set the record straight? My understanding, and Rosemary, you probably know this as well. My understanding is that you're allowed to report on results of states once the polls close in that particular state, correct?
That is correct.
The issue.
There's talk every election cycle about how the West Coast feels disenfranchised, but there's no law or regulations about it. You can report whenever you want. I think that all news media outlets, except the right wing quacks, of course, will be especially careful this year because of the threat of electoral and other legal and other battles over the results. I think there's going to be a lot of reticence to declare any victors this year.
One of the problems that I think had come earlier was that there were exit polls that were released before the polls were closed, and they felt
Correct.
That was giving an unfair advantage because they were basically calling the election before people.
They're all advising journalists to beware of exit polls. They're never really very reliable, but especially this year it's dangerous. And it doesn't reflect all the early voting. So to take an exit poll today, you're more likely to get, it's going to come out pro-Trump, at least according to polling, that shows Trump supporters are more likely to vote today than Democrats are.
Well, and the
so,
other thing,
who knows?
Too, is that a lot
Go
of the
ahead.
Polling that's already been done is exit polling because so many people have voted. You have 100 million people who have already voted. You were saying, Alan, I'm sorry.
No, I was going to make your exact point about the exit polling, and so you beat me to it, and that's good.
Let's see. Matt says, I thought reporting, I just read that. So Bruce says, I listen to the show all the time, but have never written before. But after hearing your hysterical predictions of doom, either way the election goes, I just have to say, calm down. No, the U.S. will not devolve into bands of armed militia picking off citizens at will. You will be surprised at the resiliency of our society when the orange menace is gone. Seriously, calm down. You guys are bouncing off the walls over there. Now, see, I don't feel, I feel like we've been bouncing off the walls much more than this in the past.
Well, I don't think everybody has the same opinion. I don't think all of us have the same
opinion. Don't worry, you know, when Trump was elected, it's going to be fine. We survived Obama, and you'll survive Trump. And they lied to us about that. So, no, I'm not listening to that advice.
You're going to keep bouncing off the walls, damn it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not advocating that doom and gloom. I'm not advocating that we should bounce off the walls. But I do have to give you a measure of healthy respect for the potentialities that exist out there. That's my job.
Absolutely.
Is to make sure that you are aware of how it could get bad, could get mild bad, could be nothing. Let's imagine that tomorrow everyone respects the outcome of this election. And let's hope that it is not Donald Trump himself that is going to stoke the hard potentialities that we discussed earlier.
Absolutely.
Malcolm, and that's so quaint. That's like waiting for the pivot.
Okay, so.
Yeah, but I have bombers and aircraft to back me up. So in this case, all I have the Constitution.
Thank you, Joe. In the meantime, we have Donald Trump's people forcing buses off the road. We have Donald Trump, quote, kiddingly saying he wants a third term after he hasn't had a second term yet, but it's in the Constitution that you can't have a third term. But he wants it. He's talking about arresting his opponents. And one of the reasons we're told, by the way, that we don't see Mr. Barr around anymore is that he defied the president and wouldn't go out and arrest Biden and others. So I think this could be very, very dangerous. And I think when Trump knows that if he loses, he may go to jail, there is going to be no stopping this.
You know, I think just to add to your litany there, Alan, it seems to me the other thing of just this bizarre notion that as of midnight Eastern time, you just stop counting votes is bizarre. I don't understand where that comes. Well, I mean, I guess I understand it, but I don't, you know, it makes no sense. It never has been that way. There have been plenty of states that allow votes to be cast as long as they're postmarked on election day or even earlier, depending on what the state law is. But this idea that every vote has to be in by midnight is just so weird and ludicrous.
He's framing the narrative of his cheating. He is framing the narrative of what he intends to do,
right,
which is to draw a line on it and then declare himself winner. This is straight up Mobutu, right? This is sub-Saharan African third world dictator activities. And Trump does not care.
JP?
I think that he does need cover, though. He needs to have Fox News question what the results are as well. I don't think that he can go out alone. If Fox News declares Joe Biden the winner of the election, I don't think that Trump can go against Fox News and say, no, Fox News is wrong too. I'm going to, you know, I think he needs the cover. And by the way, do I put it past Fox News to be maybe the last network to call it for Biden? No, they certainly could be, but I don't think that he can go it alone. I think that he needs the cover of that network. If he were to try to prolong counting or to, do the court challenges and all that kind of stuff.
You know, Fox News's election division suffered the wrath of every Republican in 2012 for quickly declaring Barack Obama the winner when all the numbers were in. And it was Karl Rove that was surprised by Fox News literally standing behind him and going, no, Obama's the winner. I think you're right. I think that we'll see whether they have marching orders to hold up until 100% of the vote is counted everywhere before they pull their punches. But the opinion people will be pushing civil war and Trump as a victor.
Well, Well, they not only have the Fox, they have the Supreme Court. You know, they're going to, and I'm very worried about that court. And we know that Trump himself said the reason he wanted Barrett on that court was so that she would help him when it came to this election. I think that's something we all have to remember and look for, because I think we're going to see it. Now, I think John Roberts is standing in the way of total chaos. But on the other hand, when it really, really, really counts, they'll be there for Trump.
The other thing, and again, this goes into my aforementioned list of things that I'm not sure are worth much, but Mitch McConnell has been signaling over the last 48 hours too that the Senate would back the results of the race and would not be overly patient when it comes to the president not accepting the results. I don't know if that means anything or not.
Well, it may mean something. It also may mean something that Trump canceled his you know, his big festive victory party and said we're going to be in the White House. There are lots of signs that Trump's utterances, which have been widely reported in the press, that he would be castigated by law enforcement and the rest of it. I think this may add up to the fact that he's worried.
So 400 people in the White House instead. And that seems to go. We're going to take them off the lawn. We're going to build a really high fence, and then we'll put 400 people inside. Malcolm, I'm sorry, you were going to say?
I wasn't going to say anything, but in fact, I will now.
All right.
I think that his little festivity party tonight is, we've already seen his Eva Perón moment, right? Now I suspect we're going to see his Saddam Hussein moment, where he will stand on the portico of the White House with people who will be chanting four more years or calling him Mr. President and be calling for the arrest of his political opponents. And he will declare himself the victor from that point onward. And we will not have a constitutional crisis. We're way beyond the constitutional crisis. We will have an existential crisis to determine whether the United States is essentially a third world potentate that will be moving towards insurgency. And the question is, who abandons him from the Republican side? And that's what makes me the most afraid. I don't think he will lose any of the political class of the Republicans, not one. And I think they will all back him and they will decide, well, you know, that's good enough for us. It might not be constitutional. And I think that he thinks that he's going to the Supreme Court with this. I don't even think he wants to go there. He is just going to make it clear that he is the president, whether you want him to be or not.
Let's see. Lars makes, an interesting point. We do not have Biden-Harris lawn signs and know many others who do not, in fear of loony sore losers. I think the shy elector this year may be for Biden due to fear. Interesting.
I wouldn't say fear. I mean, I had an 8-foot Biden sign that was stolen. And I immediately replaced it with a 9-foot Biden sign. I just think that common sense, the average American is not a Trump fanatic. Let's just get that straight. But then again, Hitler took 1/3 of the country and brought along another 1/3 to wipe out the last 1/3.
Right, right. I had a Biden sign that was bashed with a stick that was left at the scene. I taped it back together and it's back up. But the signage thing, I hope Malcolm is right about that. It's a sign of their extremism. They're twice as big as Biden's signs. They're banners. They show him dressed up as Rambo carrying a machine gun. They are frightening, and they are everywhere. They are ubiquitous.
And no, they just look ubiquitous. And that was part of ISIS's projection of power when they would come into these cities, because they looked like a conquering army, when in fact, some of the Iraqi units they went up against were 5 to 10 times larger. If you can make it appear that you're an undefeatable or indefatigable enemy, it's a power. It's a force multiplier. But we know the man is nothing inside. He's an empty suit. It's his followers that are trouble.
Robert writes.
Malcolm, you're not making me feel bitter comparing us to the Middle East. We are. I've used Egypt. We sing like Egypt to me, but Iraq is just as bad.
Robert says, what on earth is this panel talking about? The violence following the election here is going to be mainly from the left. Virtually all the violence and rioting we've seen in the last several months in Seattle, Portland, New York, and around the country have been from the left, with very few exceptions. Even the simulation of the election reported by the press showed that the most extreme reaction to the election was going to be if Biden lost.
You know, I find it absolutely amazing, and I've said this several times on this program, that people will believe every word I say about Al-Qaeda and ISIS and Middle East terrorists and Muslim terrorists. They will cling to my every word. They will read my law enforcement textbooks. But when I say it is a white nationalist, or that the threat is an American who is not a person of color, they immediately say, no, it all comes from the left. I got some bad news for you. There's a reason the FBI and the Department of Homeland Security have declared white nationalists the number one threat in this country. The people that started the rioting in Minneapolis, they have arrested them, and it turns out the lead guy was a white nationalist. So, you know what? Stop watching Fox. If you're gonna believe us for Muslim terrorists, you gotta believe me for all terrorists. It's white nationalists, not the left, the scary left.
Yay.
Color be off.
Russ writes and says, if Trump loses, we will have a vast army of unemployed and underemployed working poor, along with a sizable minority of working class whites who all see the federal government as a complete failure worthy of dissolution. His successor will need to appease an angry populist movement from both the right and left wings of the electorate. Anything on that, Alan?
No, well, you know, I've been thinking about this, this last letter. The people who were throwing, you know, Molotov cocktails or busting into windows were not from the left. They were from the thugs. There's a difference. I mean, Bernie Sanders' people weren't throwing stuff into windows, nor were Joe Biden's. So, you know, that is really a very terrible and really harmful mischaracterization of what's going on here.
They believe it, though.
Oh, I don't know,
Malcolm. And the propaganda pushes it. The president and Fox and Breitbart and right-wing talk radio all push this.
Because it's convenient for them. Because it's convenient for them. It fits into their narrative why people should trust them and vote for them. But, I mean, that's why I say, when you see the Biden bus being pushed to the side of the road by the thugs, that really shows you the lie in all of this.
If Dan says, oh, we have to take a break. We're going to take a break. I'm very sorry. We're late. We're very late, actually. But we'll be back. We'll continue our last round when we come back, and we'll continue our conversation. Panel at WAMC.org. Kevin writes to us and says, good morning, you wonderful group of people, you. In 2016, Election Day fell on my birthday. It was the worst birthday I've ever had. I hope this Sunday is much, much better. Kevin, we wish you a happy birthday no matter what happens. All right, let's see. We go to Peter. Remember that great breakfast the WMC threw after the 2016 election and the way Joe greeted the crowd when he got on stage? Yeah, I said words that you couldn't say on the radio. We ended up going to the Rockwell Museum after that and saw the exhibit on the Four Freedoms. Good luck to us all this year. Yeah, that was... you know, it can go from a party to a wake pretty quickly. Let's see. Mel's...
But, Joe, you know your point is very – the point of the letter writer is very well taken. I just wrote something about the Rockwell and the Four Freedoms and how Trump has defied these Four Freedoms and the First Amendment to the United States Constitution. The press is an enemy of the people and the right to speak and arrest your enemies and – It's extraordinary.
Mel writes to us and says, I've been so angry at how the Trumpers have co-opted the American flag as their symbol. Their sense of patriotism would be more impressive if they supported the U.S. Constitution, all that it represents. In protest, yep. I have a Biden-Harris flanked by 8 U.S. flags. I've toyed with the idea of having a sign made, it's our flag, too. Sandra says, we're calling dinner tonight in our house the Last Supper. One family I read about has made Rice Krispie treats molded in the shape of the U.S. map, and they will eat each state as they are called. Find things to celebrate and be. Find things to celebrate and be grateful for until it is decided.
Oh my God, that's so funny. We're just going to drink here. That's so creative.
Yeah, really.
It is a little depressing that your Last Supper will be Rice Krispie treats, but whatever. I guess there are worse things. Let's see. I like that, Sandra. Pamela says, seconding the thanks for being there messages, I find Malcolm's assessment of who will squelch any armed insurrections in the streets somewhat comforting. However, having heard some news reports about white supremacist infiltration of military and police, I'm wondering if they can all be fully trusted. Police forces seem to have a hard time treating proud boys the same way that they treat people at Black Lives Matter rallies. That from Pamela. Duncan, go ahead.
Have we talked about that incident in North Carolina where Black voters marching to the polls were confronted by police who then pepper sprayed them after giving like 14 seconds warning to get off the street and into the sidewalks, which also seems like violence and errant police and voter suppression all wrapped up in one.
And what was the, it was a march to the polls. This was what, 2 days ago, I guess?
Souls to the polls, yeah.
Yeah, and it was, and there were arrests though, weren't there?
There were. I don't know if the charges have been dropped now, but there definitely were arrests, including the pastor who led the march.
I am.
Yeah, they were completely permitted. They had not. It was not an illegal gathering in any way. I found that another thing, like pushing the bus off the road. I found that just lawlessness that scares me in this country.
In a statement, the Graham Police Department said its officers had made 8 arrests, arguing that force had been justified by the refusal to demonstrators to disperse after the gathering had, quote, reached a level of conduct that led to the rally being deemed unsafe and unlawful by unified command.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, you're talking about white law enforcement in the deep South or the purplish South. You know, there's always going to be these people. And that command could quickly find in another couple of months if the Trump administration isn't kept into power, they could quickly find themselves dissolved by the Department of Justice like they did in Ferguson. I think there's going to be a great reckoning within law enforcement as to whether they're here to serve the people or they're militarized enough to where they're a component of a political body. And that's why, you know, you want that? Get out of law enforcement.
Well, but just
but I, that was Souls of the Poles was pepper spray. I mean, if it was guns, I don't think law enforcement would allow people to go around marauding and shooting things.
Alan,
just look at the way that this thing is working. The police unions are basically endorsing Trump. So is it a surprise that you see stuff like this? Not at all.
Duncan writes, wasn't sure if you brought this up yet. Dixville, Notch, New Hampshire, all five voted for Biden. Does that make you feel better, Rosemary?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'm very surprised by that response.
You take your victories where you can get them.
Dan says,
one lifelong Republican said he did it to recalibrate the Republican Party. He says they can't go forward with Trump.
If Biden wins and they go easy on Trump on his legal issues, he will spend the next 4 years agitating his base and he will be back for another presidential run in 2024. If for no other reason than that, they need to pursue all possible avenues to hold Trump accountable, both civilly and criminally. Kathy says, over the past few weeks, we've been listening to Joe, Barack, Kamala, Jill, even Doug. Where's Michelle? She's the best vote getter of all, and I haven't even seen her get mentioned. What gives? That's a good question. I don't know the answer to that. She was a part of the West Wing special, but I did not.
I'm not sure how many times
she was deep
in
the primary.
Not interested in politics.
Yeah, that's true too. Let's see, more viewing suggestions here from Trisha, who says, since we're talking about what we watched last night, I bawled my way through Pete Souza's documentary, The Way I See It, about his time as White House photographer during Obama's term. Pete is an activist throwing shade on 45 with comparisons to a real human being, mostly through his Instagram account, but now with two books in this movie. I wish everyone could watch this better before the election, but whenever is good, too. Kyle says, what do you think the over-under is for when a winner is officially declared? 2, 3, 4 weeks? JP, what do you think?
4 years ago, it was 2:30 a.m. that Hillary conceded to Trump. I think it's possible it will be an earlier night tonight. I think it could be, I hope it's an earlier night tonight, 10 or 11 or midnight.
But that is the AP calling it because we don't know / expect the president to quote unquote concede. Is that correct?
You're asking me?
I don't know. I'm asking anyone who'll answer the question. Yes.
I imagine that if every network says, hey, Biden won at 11 p.m., including Fox News, do I expect Trump to concede? Yes.
That is absolutely never going to happen.
I don't think he will ever concede.
Yeah,
I think he'll just sulk and go away and say it was stolen and he's going to have the Justice Department investigate it. I agree with you, though, that I'm on board with the assessment that by 10:30, it's either going to be very decisive or we're going to be in a multi-day catastrophe.
You know, one of the things that I thought was interesting, the president said this yesterday about the transfer of power, and he said, well, you know, they didn't do that to me. They spied on my campaign after I won the election, which why would they spy on your campaign after the election? And I just didn't understand. I know none of it's supposed to make sense. I was just trying to make it make sense, and I couldn't.
Joe, it won't make sense.
Yeah. I couldn't follow the logic. That was all. But okay. Charlie says, lined up to vote, 38 people socially distanced, waiting on cue to vote in rural Orange County location. Calm, jovial. I'm here to counter at least one vote for Trump in my very red county. All right. I think let's see.
You know, Joe. Joe. CNN has been showing the polls all over the place. And in some very important places like Milwaukee and other places where you see at least what it appears to be not that many people lined up. And you wonder, since the Republicans were counting on this massive Republican show up, whether or not that means anything.
It is interesting.
I don't know anybody voting today. I don't know a single person. I'm serious.
Yeah, that's
everybody
true.
I know either voted by absentee or voted by early voting. And I know that's not, you know, scientific data, but I think it's amazing that no one I know is voting today.
Well, and we already know 102 million people voted already, so that is scientific. I mean, we have that data, so that's a lot of people. Let's see. We have 2 minutes. I want just a quick response because we will talk about something other than the election just for a minute, and that is the fact that Deborah Birx has bluntly contradicted the president on COVID-19, urging an all-out response. This is not about lockdowns. It's about an aggressive, balanced approach that is not being implemented, says an internal White House report that challenges Trump's pronouncements.
Yeah, it was nice seeing her. She'll be out of a job tomorrow morning, and I don't think they care. Deborah Birx is also part of the system that allowed him to transition from a plan of wearing masks to essentially pushing herd immunity. That's not the phrase they're using, but that's what essentially they're doing. I know Nigel Farage was in the White House and was campaigning with Trump the other day. And just 2 days ago, he came out in the UK saying the US and the UK should switch to herd immunity. Deborah Birx is part of the problem, and she needs to lose her job one way or the other.
Yay! Yes, indeed. I've been saying this for weeks.
My inner Rosemary.
The day before election, she comes out and finally gets courage. Like, what has she been doing for the past 6 months during this this horrible pandemic? She has not been successful in protecting us, and she has not been brave. And she finally, I'm glad it finally happened, but
we're
it's
out of time.
Too little late.
Okay, I'm so sorry. We're out of time. I apologize. Everybody... Oh. We'll be back tomorrow. Don't worry. We're gonna have a really long show tomorrow, depending on what happens. We'll be back.
Or a very short show.
Yeah, that's right. A long short. We don't know. My thanks to everybody. Be well. Go out and vote if you haven't already. And we'll see you on the other side. Alan, thank you so much. Malcolm, Rosemary, JP, thank you. We'll be back right after this.